that love to hit. Polarize the link when I smash Valdez, slicing up teeth like Mike Singletary. Forever repping the seat, making pop a bear crab, giving Chicago something to shout about. We the Bears, monsters of.
Welcome to the Panda and Grizzly Show. And if you like your Chicago Bears or want weekly updates of your favorite team, subscribe to our YouTube channel and click on the bell. And click on the bell so when you know when we go live and we'll post new videos. You can also find us on Spotify and Twitch, and if that's where you'd like to go. In this episode, we're talking about the O-line. My name is Panda. I'm with Grizzly and Ice Bear. How you guys doing?
This episode is Fat Man approved.
Yes,
this episode is Fat Man approved.
Yes, even though I'm eating an apple. One is good.
Yeah, I counteracted with my pizza. It's all right, man.
Right. A pound is bad. You know. You son of a bitch. You're trying to run up me when I had my deep dish going. And you had your Chipotle or whatever the fuck it was. So how you guys doing?
Great, man. I'm ready for this episode. Yeah. This is where I live. This is where I live, right here.
this no more than this.
Right.
Just no more. In your little box here. Right. In your little no square. So okay, cool.
No square.
Wow. I got it.
Two minutes in, Panda.
Is it too soon?
Never too soon. It's okay.
That's what I thought. But, you know, some sensitive people around here with a Denver Nuggets jersey might say otherwise. Oh, man. All right. So I'm just setting everything up. All right. Just jump right into it then.
Yep. Let's go ahead. Let's do this.
Guys are awfully quiet, man, because you're eating food.
No, it's great to get into this today.
I'm just thinking about food.
All right.
I didn't get to eat something fat tonight. My wife made salmon.
Salmon?
Yes. And baby carrots.
See, I've been trying to cut back. I really have, because I've been getting close to 300 again, so I got to retract that. That's what I got.
So you're almost at your goal then.
Little backs of raisins. See, they just got me these to control and snack, and it's good. But when I eat, like, one pack has six of them. So if I eat, like, four at once, it's not good. She bought me a big container once, and it was gone in 2 days.
Wow.
So anyway, yes, know your Bears, the offensive line.
I want you guys to notice that it says it's a Chicago skyline. It's not Arlington Heights skyline. Just saying. Just throwing it out.
Does it have a skyline? Is it like a Trader Joe's and a Whole Foods? Is that their skyline?
It's a Trader Joe's, a Whole Foods, and a Chipotle.
Right. A Nordstrom's. That's their skyline.
Oh, fuck.
There is a Nordstrom's out there that I go to. They have big people shoes sometimes. So.
The Bears news and notes. Bears, Eddie Jackson just missed the cut of NFL's top 10 safeties. So what was he, number 11, 12?
He was actually number 11. Ed Jackson was number 11. They said a lot's going to show this year. He was actually voted most overrated safety by coaches, too.
Yeah.
They say I saw that.
I saw that. I was like, what was the one trick that he said he was?
That he reads the quarterback's eyes a lot. And he just kind of gets out of position. He doesn't actually play the position the right way. He's just reading the eyes. He's going to where the quarterback might throw the ball. He's guessing all the time.
Wow. So, I mean, is that something approved now?
Kramer says Fat Man approved.
Nice. Yes.
So I don't know that much about safeties. So he's not. They're calling the coverage, and he's just doing whatever the F you want to do.
Yep, exactly. He's just looking at the quarterback. He's trying to read the backfield instead of playing. If it's cover four, you have quarters. You know, so he's not actually playing the position. He's just going after his own. So they say he's overrated as a safety. But as long as he doesn't get eaten up, I don't see how that's not a problem.
Right. A safety's prime number one responsibility is to make sure no one passes him. Because if someone passes him, then you're not doing your job, period.
But he does it all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So with I can see why they would say that, especially with terrible cornerbacks. We'll talk about that next week.
The Bears, Roquan Smith, named among the best linebackers in the NFL. I think all Chicago fans pretty much knew this since last year, maybe even the year before, because this guy is something to watch. Or I think a few weeks ago we mentioned that he's projected to be an all-time player or something at under 25.
One of the top 25 players under 25.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah.
But see, I think this is why Akeem Hicks and Goldman is so important this year, because what Roquan can do is cover the whole field.
Right.
He can run and get things and stuff like that. There's certain guys that, hey, I'm a run stopper linebacker, I'm just going to put my face in here, and that's it. That's not what Roquan does. He can get every place. He can cover everything. And if you got the fat guys in the front keeping him off of him, he can just run around. There's not a play he can't make. It's not a play he can't make.
I might say something that might be a little bit blasphemy.
let's put up the counter.
This is number three or four, I think.
I believe Roquan Smith is more talented than the Brian Urlacher ever was. And I believe if Roquan Smith had the same guys as Brian Urlacher, he would produce even more.
You know what? I kind of have to agree. Urlacher's status really came from the big guys up front at that they had like for 2-3 years.
He was able to make plays.
His rookie season, everybody in that defense was super fast.
Yep.
So it was really hard.
Really fast too, because I mean, Brian Urlacher was a safety, but my point is that Roquan Smith is a linebacker.
Right.
I think he attacks the quarterback better. I think he tackles better. He attacks the quarterback.
I'm not even going to call that controversial. You're talking about talent. So yeah, I mean, even if you looked at their measurables, he was probably better than Urlacher was coming out. So I mean, you're talking about talent. That's not a slight to Brian Urlacher. I agree with you. He does have better talent than Brian Urlacher did. You know, and I think that the Bears need to do. They need to see what they have and put stuff around it. That Tonga kid, if he can be the stump that he needs to be, will be right there.
Yep.
You know, he'll be key to the future of them and Roquan and stuff. They're gonna have to. I will say this. They're coming up on having to look for somebody else besides Trevathan, though.
Yeah.
They need to be looking at – they need to be – I mean, like, at least in the next – if not the next draft after that.
The fact that they got Christian Jones to come back is a huge lift. Christian Jones, I don't know if you guys remember him. He was with us 18 and 19. He left last year and came back. And Christian Jones could play. I think he's more of a more prototypical middle linebacker, and Trevathan was known as a great defender, especially pass defender. I think that he can play with him, though, because Roquan can play any way.
So you're talking about moving Roquan off middle?
No, so there's two middle linebackers in the Bears 3-4 defense. Right. So, I'm saying that Jones might have to play a predominantly more run-stopping role, and Roquan could do the everything guy. Because he can do everything. Because he's just that good.
You talking about Jones or Roquan? You talking about?
Yeah. If you go Jones, Roquan, one more. Because Trevathan, Roquan calls defense right now, but Trevathan is the man. They all know Trevathan is the man. Roquan could be the man.
So how many years you think Trevathan got left?
2.5. And that half a year is probably somewhere else.
So you're saying that in 2.5 years, he'll be no good.
He'll be on the garbage bin.
Really?
Yeah. I think Gervais got a lot to prove after last season. And this is the question mark they throw up. Hey, what about COVID? How did that affect people? We'll see. They had the whole camp. They had the whole thing to go through where you got to come in and be with the people and stuff. It wasn't online or on Zoom or whatever. So you got to come and prove it now.
He has looked slow. Towards the end, he looked a lot better. Danny really did, but he just has so many knee injuries. I just don't think you could have four or five knee injuries like that and still be the same linebacker.
Well, he has three more years left. I believe he just signed him. He's going to be a free agent in 2023, I believe he is. So, yeah, I mean, he's 2021, two more years.
He's going to be a cut. He's going to get cut. He's going to be like, in 2 years, he might get cut. And, you know, Christian Jones could probably be one of those guys. Or they draft someone in the next couple of years.
All right.
Now, I like to put, with that much time left on his contract, I like to put Trevathan, like you said, with Christian Jones there, having him back. I like to put him in that category, like, they could get something for him now while they still got a chance to get something for him.
Yeah. It might be,
it's,
you know.
It's hard to trade a middle linebacker, though. Especially when it's 31, 32 right now, you know.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, if he has a good year this year, like, oh man, he did great. Yeah, he did. Come and take him.
You know. Well, yeah, he signed a 3-year deal worth $21 million.
That's not a lot of money. $7 million.
$13 million is basically guaranteed. So yeah, that's a lot of money to eat up if we're gonna just try to think of shifting him and trade him, that's a lot of money.
The name of the game for Price is going to have to be creative because they don't have draft picks next year. They're going to be like the like Seattle of this year with the three draft picks or some shit. I think they only got like six or something. It's not as bad as I'm saying it is.
It's not that bad.
But it's a lot of later round stuff, which is fine. But like they're going to have to, with the salary cap problems they're going to have and they got now and stuff, if they get better next year, they're going to have to figure something out. He's on my list to figure something out with.
Right.
You know.
I hear you.
Devin McGovern dubbed Bears most likely first-time Pro Bowler. I'm kind of shocked that he – was he an alternate last year or the year before? Because he was
– it's so many running backs in the issue. And a lot of the running backs didn't make it to the playoffs. So not many people just said, no, I don't want to go. I think David Montgomery would have been a Pro Bowler last year. Mm-hmm. You know, but if someone would have went further, but no one did. So, you know, that's kind of what it is. I think I don't know if he's going to be what Marvin said he is, but I do think he's going to make at least 1,100 yards. 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns is a Pro Bowler.
I'm saying that he's got to get 200 more yards than the 1,000 that he got.
I'm not saying that what you're saying is nuts.
I didn't say he's Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I was saying what you said. I'm like, he's going to get 200 more yards. Oh, my God, that was crazy. No, I'm saying, but I don't know if he's going to make it.
What did he average? He averaged 100 in those last six games.
Yes.
Okay.
Those last six games were special.
If you do over the previous 12, 90, average 90 yards, average 89 yards, and do what you did in the last six games, you're going to get to 1,200. The math is there. So
everything you said is 100% correct. I just believe that Tariq Cohen and Damian Williams are going to take some carries away from him.
Well, Cohen's going to be ready for the camp.
That's why I think Damian Williams is going to be your backup running back, and that's the problem because he can run.
Yeah.
And those type of things.
I think he can catch a little bit better too.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just saying those could be issues going forward, but I still think he's going to have a great year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he rushed on 2019. I believe he split the backfield with Cohen, 889 yards. And then in 2020 was 1070. So, yeah, I mean, and that's with a crappy-ass O-line. Because Montgomery is a elusive/bulldozing kind of running back. He broke a lot of tackles in college. I remember that clearly. That's
Before you get to the line of scrimmage, he got 10 tackles.
He was leading that last year, and I would say he's a bulldozer that's got a couple moves.
Right,
he's got a couple wide buttons. He got a couple wide buttons in there. You know what I'm saying? And that's fine.
Yeah, Manuel Juke.
Right, right. You know, he got a couple wise and a manual in there, and he's got. I think he's got good vision too. So I remember a few plays that I was like, man, he looks slow as hell. You know, he's not a couple 80-yard runs we got caught, and that was fine. But I was like, man, you know, you look slow right there. But it's all right.
He's a 4.6 40. He's nothing unbelievable. But he has great balance. He knows how to dodge guys, and he knows how to get back to the line of scrimmage. He doesn't have a lot of negative plays.
And he don't he doesn't run real high like some running backs like to do. He's you know, down low.
Squares up the shoulders and goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton and Darnell Mooney training together ahead of camp. Now that's very interesting, considering Mooney might become the number one guy if Robinson doesn't get his contract.
Well, you see what happened with Allen Robinson. They did not reach a long term deal. They won't reach a long term deal, is what they're saying. Because I think
expected to.
Yeah, I believe that Allen Robinson was hurt that they didn't offer him the money. And now that the Bears are saying, we'll give you 19, 20 million, he's like, nah, I'm going to see how the free agency goes. Because he thinks he can probably get 23 million. If he has a great year,
get that?
If he has a number one receiver year this year,
possibly. How old is Allen Robinson? He's been in the league for like 28? 8, 9 years. Yeah.
Like 28. So he's not that old. So that means he probably has 4 good years in him.
Right. So I was going to say, if Allen Robinson doesn't stay with the Bears, he's going to a win now team type of situation. He's like, look, I'll come and take less money to go to Denver with Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, that was a story in the last hour that Denver has reached back out to the Packers about Aaron Rodgers. And then the Packers said, no, they're like, fuck you.
So we end up getting Robinson in 2018, which he got 754 yards, 2019, 1147, and 2020, 1250. So every year he progressively got better and stronger. And as far as touchdowns goes, in 2018, 4 TDs, 2019, 7, and 2020, he had 6. Of course, it's going to get 6, and it looks shitty on black and white. But on the other side of the spectrum.
You got to name who the quarterbacks were, though.
Right, exactly.
Who was it
in 17? That was Mitch, too, right? It was Mitch.
Mitch. Every year he's had Mitch Trubisky throwing him the ball with his left hand.
He got 1,250 yards with Mitch Trubisky throwing it to him.
No, 1,250 last year.
That's what I'm saying.
With Mitch Trubisky throwing him half the year.
Oh, that's right. Holy shit. Because it was Trubisky or Foles.
Yeah.
And
Foles didn't throw the ball to Allen Robinson. Like, Trubisky, that was his blanket. He was like, I have no one. I don't know where to throw. Yeah. Allen, here we go. It's like 3 people on, and Allen Robinson still catches the ball.
Yeah. Trubisky was like, Daddy!
He throws the ball up. It's like 40 feet. Daddy! Like,
he just threw it up there. But yeah, man, I mean, it sucks.
I don't know. This is the part when I talk a lot about, like, not curses, but organizational strategy and organizational mistakes. The Bears have never historically had great wide receiver talent because they haven't pursued it or paid people to do it. This is going to – I don't want this to be another story, but it looked like it's going to be that. Like, how are you going to let this guy
– Well, the Bears are counting on the fact that they're going to be able to franchise him or transition tag him again. And that's what they're saying. But, the deadline is July 15th. It's in 2 days. They're not going to get the deal done if Allen Robinson doesn't want to get the deal done.
So, Robinson is looking for how much?
I believe Allen Robinson is looking for $21 million.
21. Okay, so I'm looking up 2021 wide receiver salaries as of right now. Amari Cooper is number one for 22 mil. Robinson is 17.98. So it is, I don't know. He wants 23 for how long? You know?
I don't know.
Maybe like 5 years? 6 years?
No, it's not 5 years.
So I really don't know how many years he wants.
I believe Allen Robinson was a 4-year contract. I think he will want to progressively add it. So like 21, 22 and a half, 23, 24, 24 and a half. So like what Julio Jones got, if you saw when he signed when he was with Atlanta.
Right. You know,
the reason Atlanta had to get rid of him because he was going to make $28.5 million next year. So, I mean, I think Allen Robinson wants that type. He wants Julio Jones money. And I think that the Bears are saying, you're not Julio Jones, though. And, right. you know, And he's that's where the stalemate. But what, if he comes out this year and catches 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns, you might have to pay the man Julio Jones money.
Julio Jones is going to be top 10 wide receiver all time.
Yeah.
Okay. Allen Robinson, he's great. But I can see what they're doing. But, like, you have to have other options. That's the thing. You have to be doing something else actively to do to be able to say that to your star guy that you got now. They're not doing that. They're just going along the same way that they've been doing shit. Right. So that's the problem that I have. You can say this to somebody, hey, you're not Julio Jones, but we're over here looking at these other guys that
we ain't got nobody else.
Like. Right. Right. Here's the thing about that. Julio Jones is Julio Jones because of Matt Ryan.
No, Julio Jones out of Alabama. Yeah. Right. Julio Jones could have been one.
Julio Jones would have been Julio Jones right in Tannehill.
If you think Trubisky in Atlanta, he would not have. Julio's numbers won't be as great.
He would have better than Allen Robinson numbers.
I think Julio would have had better numbers with someone other than Ryan. I honestly, I believe if he was with anyone else, he would have had better numbers. The problem is he can't get touchdowns. Matt Ryan doesn't like throwing the ball to him in the ball in good position.
He can't get touchdowns because the team clamps the safety on top of him and the cornerback. When they get close to that, hey, let's make sure Julio don't get it. That's the whole defense. When they play,
if Julio play with Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones will be look like have Randy Moss game day type numbers.
Yeah, 100%. I don't believe that Julio Jones' greatness is as much tied to Matt Ryan as some of the other players' receivers are. Like, you know, I think he would have been Julio Jones any other place. Maybe not with Mitch as good, but like he could have anybody. Matt Ryan is a playoff quarterback. Okay, he makes it to the playoff a lot. Mm-hmm. The Falcons do. Okay, anybody else that makes it to the playoffs as much as Atlanta does with their quarterback, he would have. What's the old boy? That's if he played with Phillip Rivers, nuts.
Oh, he would have nuts. He would have one of those all time numbers,
breaking records, all time numbers with Phillip Rivers. Yeah. Can you imagine him playing with Phillip Rivers?
Yeah,
it'd have been over. So I can see. I don't have a problem with what they're saying, talking about what the way they're dealing with Allen Robinson, but they don't have a plan, and that's the part that bothers me. They're not showing a plan. Oh, we can give a whole bunch of cheap people and have somebody. Okay, then Justin Fields is gonna be sitting there pissed off because he got garbage to throw it to.
Right.
Okay.
I think you cannot pay Allen Robinson Julio Jones money, but you also shouldn't disrespect him. And the problem was that the Bears disrespected him last year, and they should have offered him $21 million for a four-year contract off the bat. Four-year, $84 million off the bat. The fact that they offered him $17.5 million, which is like what he's making now, is they embarrassed him.
Even if you
cannot do those 20, things.
Hey, look, you say to him, hey, look,
four-year, $80 million.
This is what we can do. If we can't do – and I understand that. We love you and stuff. This is what we can do. We've got to go to some other areas. They didn't say that. They said, hey, you're only worth this.
They said specifically, you're only worth this much money, and that's a big problem. And you know what a wide receiver is all about? Ego. So you can't do that to him. And I'm not surprised Allen Robinson doesn't want to talk to them right now.
Somebody's going to go and give him the money. Somebody needs a receiver. More than the Bears think they don't.
Baltimore.
Which is right. That would be stupid. Him playing with Lamar. That's what Lamar's arm is. Throw it up. Nah.
Daddy.
Right.
With a flick and it'll be down 80 yards. Like
right. Easy. That'd be crazy. You know. But let's talk about Dalton and Mooney,
I'm all for Andy Dalton making this making this good and stuff like that. But like the pressure is mounting like a grandma's pot roast in the pressure cooker on Sunday at 4:55 p.m. You know, it's like a few minutes left for it to be there for people to not want Andy Dalton in the game. Like I'm serious. Let Justin Fields get in these MF in preseason games and like go nuts. Like, Matt Nagy,
I think Matt Nagy might pull him. he might be like,
right. We got doing touchdown. Hey, get out, Justin. No, I told you not to be throwing no touchdowns and shit. You're wrong with you. Playing good.
Yeah, playing too good. You're... All right. Well, speaking of pot roast, I bet we're about to meet a bunch of people who's going to enjoy Grandmama's pot roast.
Yeah.
Look at these guys. These guys are not nowhere near slim fast and shit.
Those are big men. That's like, yes, also some big boys. I mean, and that's coming from me. I'm like,
yeah. And like oftentimes, like, so I'm a large guy, 6'7", 3, almost 4 something. Like, I am little compared to these people. I remember going to camp and seeing Cal Long and him standing next to me. I was like, damn. He had a crop top shirt on, had a six pack. I'm like, fat guys ain't supposed to have six packs. What's going on? That's why he hurt all the time. You worry about them abs. You eat a sandwich, get that fat on you, you wouldn't be hurt. Chris Cal Long.
These guys, like, I am 6'5", I'm about 285. These guys are all between 30 and 70 pounds more than I am.
Yeah.
Those are, it's not, it's muscle.
Those are, and those are big, strong dudes. I mean, for real.
So right, let's get into it. I'm more encouraged about our offensive line than we've ever been.
Yeah,
I've ever been my whole life being a Bears fan. Since Big Cat Williams, that's the last Big time Cat I was Williams. Excited exactly. about somebody on the offensive line.
Big Cat.
He was 6'9". I remember seeing him when I was in high school. I was like, Jesus Christ. I got to look that up. What's going on with Big Cat Williams?
I met him a couple times at Walgreens on Roosevelt and Canal in Chicago. That dude is so cool. Some
pizza.
Yeah, he's so cool. Shook his hand. And I kid you not, his hand like wrapped.
He was shaking
around.
Your wrist.
Yeah, his hand was like touching. You know, his hand became like this, and my whole fucking fist was. It was like, holy shit. Anyway,
you like you got that little bit man handshake. Sometimes you got that little hand. You're like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, don't be shaking my hand like that, man. I don't care how big your hand is. What's wrong with you?
All right. So let's start with the leader of the pack. Sam Mustafer is 24 years old. He was undrafted, which I love stories like this. An undrafted free agent was on a practice squad, and now he's a starter. So pretty soon, knowing the Bears and his rep, he's going to go bye-bye. So... his senior season at Notre Dame, he did not give up a sack or QB hit. Which
and you know what? They probably bet on that Notre Dame. Notre Dame, they got fat guys. They got offensive linemen.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I don't like Notre Dame at all, but they put out some offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
So he started 32nd consecutive games at Notre Dame. He was ESPN named Mustard for Notre Dame most underrated player before the 2018 college football. You know, I think of Notre Dame. I think of the defensive tackle, Jim Flanagan from Notre Dame. For some reason, that dude always comes up.
I don't know why.
I think about Harry Hiestand, because Harry Hiestand was the best offensive line coach. He was a coach for our offensive line when I was in Illinois. This man knows what the hell he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They are monsters coming out of Notre Dame. Monsters. Like this, he knows offensive line.
That's crazy. So that is Sam Mustafer, guys. So if you're out in the field or...
So, yeah, he was a preseason All-American. Not just like... He's not just a center. I mean, this guy is aggressive. He's unbelievably agile. He's the type of guy that, you know, a guy who's 6'4", 311, that can do cartwheels. You know, this guy... And he's smart. He loves... When you look up Sam Mustafer, the first thing they always talk about is how smart he is and how much he appreciates being known as an intellectual guy. Mm-hmm. You know, how he can decipher defenses so quick.
Unlike other schools like Alabama, you got to have a good GPA to go to
Notre Dame.
Like, Alabama let you in with a 1.5 to be on the football team. Oh, you're on the football team? Can you spell his name? All right, come on.
Was it close? Was it close?
Right. Did he use the right color crayon? Did he? Okay, right. Yeah. Shit, all the Alabama football team under my ass.
At least Brotherwood.
But yeah, so I mean, and that's what you want with your center. You want to be mean, you want to be smart. And I think we got that. And he's 24 years old. He's 24. Man, he's 24.
So, he stayed on the Packer squad all 2019. And he learned everything. And when he stepped in, the Bears offensive line got way better. They literally those last 60 games, they had 124, 149, 199. 164, like back to back to back to back. These guys were rolling. He solidified it because now he can snap the ball and get the guy and reach the guy. And now you have two good guards on both sides. Up the middle, the Bears will be solid. I know a lot of depth charts still have Cody Whitehair as a center. Cody Whitehair won't be a center. He will be left guard. Matt Nagy already said he's going to be the left guard. He's going to be an all-pro left guard. That means James Daniels will have to go to right guard because he's been left guard his entire career. He will have to go to right guard. Sam Mustipher is your center. That's how good he is.
Yep. All right. That is awesome.
I'm looking forward to see how well he does this year. You know, being you know, a great center is got a special place in the NFL for those guys that are great centers like that. They need a whole fame section for centers. But, you know, we only get that one part of the offensive line. But that's all right. Stop hating, Ken.
So, James Daniels, you said he's going to be moving to what side?
Right guard. He has been left guard his entire career, but he will be right guard now because you can't take Whitehair off. That's just what it is.
Right. So he's 23. He's appeared in 37 games with 31 starts, 23 at left guard and 8 at center. So he's versatile pretty much. Mm-hmm. He played 8 games. That's great. We'll play right, and he will play right guard this year, as Grizzly mentioned. Daniels made the line calls at Iowa, and it's a smooth move over technician whose initial quickness and athletic ability to make him a good fit in the zone-heavy schemes. So, that being said, he's going to the right guard. Is there any chance? You see, people like him is very versatile. I'm not going to say any chance he's going to be moving, switching around, only if there's an injury. So there, he can plug and play.
Yeah, if they're injuries, the if some, you know, something happens to the other side, they're definitely going to slide him over there and let one of those other guys like Bars or something do something less important. But you see what he's in now? Third year of his four-year, $6 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He bought the ball and his ass off too.
He's trying to get his money too.
And I think he can get it. And I think he can get it.
No, he will get it. The only question is, are the Bears going to give it to him?
They need to. James Daniels is a special player. He is probably the most athletic guy you're going to have on the line. He's quick. He was a center. He was a center all in Iowa. That's really his number one position. He was coming into the NFL, they said he's going to be a center.
Let's have our three interior linemen all be guys that can play center.
Exactly. So the center is what your smartest guy, your most athletic guy, because he has to snap the ball and reach nose tackles. He is they're your nastiest guy, you know. And yet all three of them are the same type of guy. James Daniels is going to be a monster. He came in, he had to gain the strength. I was talking to Marvin before the show that James Daniels, you know, came at 20 years old. All of us that are all past 20 years old know that it takes some years to get your grown men strength. You know, when you're 20 years old, you just don't have that strength in. Then all of a sudden you hit 30, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, where was this when I was 20? You know, James Daniels just starting to get into his grown men strength. And he's
got to build up all that whiskey and burgers. That's what you got to do.
Exactly.
All that whiskey and protein.
That's funny. So,
no, but I'm serious. This is going to be another thing. Mustipher, 24 years old. James Daniel, 23. Okay. They're building something here with this. And I don't know who picked these guys. Was this before Pace or did Pace pick these guys?
I believe Pace picked Daniel.
Pace did. Yeah.
Pace picked Daniel. Okay. And so, he signed Mustipher.
He so I mean, people, I don't let them do good. People be like, oh, Ryan Pace, not so, man. Because these are those long range picks that he could be gone and fired, and these guys are all four of his linemen picks as Pro Bowls. You're like, damn, he did a good job.
Yep.
But you know, so I'm excited about these guys, and he's, you know, he's coming off this pectoral, he's coming off the pectoral injury too, so he's ready, man. He's ready to get back. You know, that's a hard thing, especially for offensive linemen. So I'm glad he had plenty of time to get it right. You know, that's all up here. This is mm-hmm. what you're doing with your hands and your chest and stuff and your trunk. You know, so
yeah,
you got to have that. And I'm glad he had the time, but I think we're gonna be able to see these things in camp. When we get to go to camp and see them and how hard they're hitting, how much snap they've got in their fire-offs and stuff like that, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see that first preseason game.
Yeah, the first preseason game is going to be crucial because guess what? 3 weeks later is going to be the first regular season game, and now they're going to be going against other people that they never really practice against. So it's good. I'm expecting a few sacks here and there. So yeah.
Yeah, oh, wow. What I loved about it is that all these things, they all say, these guys, what's
where
up?
Where have you been? Young T.Y. Young T.Y. Jesus. We thought you lost you, bud. Welcome back.
But no, I think where we're going to notice is that these guys are so smart. These are so aggressive. And we're building something that's going to be really special. And we're going to really start seeing it starting this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're off the Castillo.
Juan Castillo.
He's good enough to put this stuff together. He's good enough O-line coach to put this stuff together, man, to make them get on the same page, make them get what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. So Cody Whitehair.
That's the man.
Yep, that is a man. 29 years old. He finished the NFL season in 2020. Oh, his fifth season. Wow. This is
his fifth season. Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Started 78
games. He was old as hell going to in college.
He started then at 24?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, he must have – I bet you he probably redshirted for him to be 24.
He redshirted and he played his fifth year.
Mm. Wow. So he – out of 78 games, he played 60 at center, 16 left guard, and 2 at right guard. So this is the guy that completes the trio that you, Marvin, said have all the three interior be able to play any switch position. Obviously, Cody Whitehair can do that. So let's see. A native Albion, Kansas? Aubrey?
Abilene,
Kansas.
Sorry to my people on Abilene.
Abilene High School. It's a very good, very good football high school. He was a two-way lineman for his junior and senior year, and he put up some major numbers.
Yeah, I'm looking. In his senior year, he was named Prep Star Magazine All Midlands Region Team after being credited for 140 pancakes and 81 total tackles and 15 sacks. 140 pancakes.
Fuck that. 15 sacks is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's nine games.
You're right. It is nine games.
That's nuts.
Youngin T said, "We need one of them 6'8" guards like Kyle Long."
Hey, it doesn't matter if you're 6'8" if you're never on the field. All right,
right.
You can be 6'8" on the bench. No, I love Kyle Long. He just had a lot of injury problems. Always did he make it through one season completely?
Probably his first or second, maybe.
Right. So Cal Long was a great lineman, but we need guys that can stay there. Yep. And you know, I know injury is a terrible thing to deal with. So I feel better about these guys we got than we do Cal Long.
Kyle Long got hurt again. He's hurt now.
Did he? Mm-hmm. Is he really? Because he was trying to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Yep. Kansas City. He got hurt again.
I'm that's sad because he's a great guy. He's a competitive dude. He's a great great, comes from a great football family, and you know, just sometimes you can't get past it. Sometimes you can't get past it. The NFL is not an easy thing to do for anybody's body.
No,
regardless of who you are.
He fractured his leg.
That just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's June 11th.
Fractured his leg at the beginning of June.
Yeah, that's the end of that. The lower leg injury, fractured kneecap.
Oh.
Yep.
Jesus. Poor guy. And he is a great player. He's not a slouch. He's good.
He has not been cut. He has not been cut. Because I think they see him and they say, if we get him healthy, this is a special guy.
But fractured a kneecap? A kneecap? The problem with the knees is no blood goes there. No blood. Yeah. There's not a bunch of blood vessels that go stuff to your knee. So it's oh man.
Jesus.
And regardless of like anything else, you're not doing nothing with your knee to keep the strength in it. You got to build all that strength back up when you do get it fixed.
So he's not getting surgery though.
What is he going to do with a fractured kneecap?
They said he technically could be back in within 3 months.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible. I'm not a doctor. I don't know either. 3 months. I have no idea.
Right. they're gonna rush him back. And
I'm with you, man. Tell me, because my knee is bad right now. I need that treatment. My knee is bad right now. I got a half a knee between both my knees, so I need that 2 month fix.
You got enough money, they'll find you a knee.
Right.
Erase that donor thing. Yes. Erase that shit on your
driver's license. Donor? Right. They'll come knock me out. Take my kneecap off. Give them all of it.
Hey, fam, we need this right quick.
Oh, man. All right. So that's for Cody.
Now, Jermaine Effetti, before we get into it, I do want to say this. Understand, Jermaine Effetti was a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
This man was thought to be a great lineman. They thought he was going to be a great right tackle. So, you go ahead, Seth.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Right about that. They picked that up.
The Chiefs got Trey Smith, too.
Yeah, they did. All right, so but Jermaine Effetti. Jermaine Effetti is 27 years old, 6'5", 340 pounds. Jeez. And he's fast. He has great feet. He just doesn't move laterally great, but he has great feet.
Mm-hmm.
He has 76 career starts at both guard and tackle, including 6 postseason starts. Has 4 playoff starts at right tackle and 2 at right guard. So right now he's trying to win this hold down this right tackle spot. That's actually he has some competition this year.
Oh yeah, there's going to be plenty.
You talking about Borum?
Borum's going to be serious for him.
Yeah.
Effetti, when he was at Westside High School, played so football, basketball, and track.
When we get to him, Borum kind of built the same, ain't he?
Yep. Borum is built exactly the same.
If I'm Bears, I'm starting Mac at guard and offense.
This ain't high school. You can pay somebody for it.
I need you at safety, middle linebacker, outside, left guard, right tackle, all that same time.
That's funny.
That's flashbacks. Oh, that's the worst.
I put you
everywhere.
As at the very bottom, said Effetti plans to be mentor both Jenkins and Borum as they transition into NFL.
And that's actually something that he said off the cup. Like, no one tried to get it from him to say it. He just said, you know, look, I know exactly what Jenkins is coming from. I'm trying to mentor him. I'm trying to let him know how things go in the NFL, how things work, and it's going to be okay. And he said, what about Borum? He said, me and Borum are side by side. I'm teaching him everything I can teach him. It's okay for all three of us to eat. There's no problems. We all can eat.
It's gonna happen. Borum's gonna have to play. It's gonna happen at one point. Like
somebody's gonna get hurt. Somebody's getting hurt. That's just what it is.
So there's no reason not to prepare the people around you. And that's a great mentality to have. The Bears, what they have right now, they're starting to change that O-line tradition that they – the bad one that they had previously. And it all started when they got rid of Charles Leno Jr. You know, not saying nothing against him. He was trash. But somebody else didn't think so. And who did he go to? Who did
Leno go Washington. To? He's a star left tackle at Washington.
And now he's got another job. I'm happy for him. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that he's on the Washington football team.
I'm glad he's just not on the Bears.
They're changing the mentality that they have for offensive line. They always want people that are
Young and T.Y. says, so what he really saying, I'm helping a guy that's probably better than me. Which raising him.
Maybe.
He's not there yet. I don't think Brom's there yet. But he's going to push. You need that competition that Fetty does to make sure. But like I
– Well, you say, but Juan Castillo said that he has the ability to be the best tackle in the league. This mm-hmm. guy has good feet. He has very long arms. Very, very long arms. He has a 7-foot wingspan. Mm-hmm. This guy can
got them Deontay Wilder reach.
Exactly, he's gonna tickle. He's tickling midges in the trees and stuff. I mean, this dude could do it all. He, you know, you ever seen someone little touch the
people,
bottom of it?
Little people.
I'm sorry, guys. Little people. But he touches the bottom of a door stand and in the top at the same time. He has that. His arms are that long. This guy has all the things. He's a big, strong, fast guy. Just sometimes they don't see the motor. And the problem is, if he doesn't have the motor this year, Borman will take his job. No matter if he had 96 pancakes in college.
Right,
right.
Because that means he's bigger than everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're the Bears, they're changing their mentality about offensive line. They're changing their strategy with it. We want versatile guys. They can do a bunch of stuff in our interior guys. We want tackles that can play both ways. We want mean guys. We want smart guys. That's what they're going. So you always like to see, like to see what they're going to do with everything else. I still think they could pick up Okung for a few bucks and help them. You tell me, Okung, what is he going to get? You couldn't get Okung for
one and a half,
right?
Yeah,
you know, a couple mil, you know, and put him over there and help out Jenkins. We're buying you just to make this dude better.
Yeah. He thinks he can still play, and that's what's going to happen. If he sees that he can't play, then he will come in. He'll be a backup, be a mentor. And I think that'd be great for the Bears to have someone like that.
Yeah. Right. You just mentioned Jenkins, but before we get into that, Youngin says, how do you guys feel about the Bears running a West Coast offense?
I think all offenses right now are versions of the West Coast offense. All of them are running gun. That's why you see a lot of shotgun. You see a lot of pistol. I think all offenses are a form of that. But you also need to be able to go under the center and smash mouth sometimes too. So you want guys that can zone block, which is great. And you need guys that are going to be able to take the guy in front of them and put them in the dirt. And that's what's nice to see all your linemen saying they have pancakes, all these pancakes through high school and college.
Right.
You know, that means they're not just zone guys, but they're guys that could take their guy and put him in the dirt.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I think the point you're making about all teams having some of a West Coast offense, the best ones just have the players to fit it. So it's about you having the players to fit that can do that. You can power eye yourself into some West Coast plays, but you can't do that without them having to run if you don't have the people to do it. If you don't have the Tyreek Hills just fucking outrun everybody, or the you know, the tight ends that are you know, the Kittles or you know, or anything like that to do that stuff, to stretch and stuff like that, then you can't do it. So, right. And I think that's part of what they had the problem with last year. Square peg, round hole. And now he's got a more squarer of a hole, kind of, maybe.
Square.
A little bit squarer.
Squarer.
And I think he's gonna try to force it again. The most thing I'm most concerned about is Nagy being like, no, I'm calling the plays again.
Yeah, They should get off the bus running the ball.
Right. Yeah. Hand it to him as soon as you get out. Here you go. Lane, get closer. Take the ball, David. You know, that's it. Like, I feel like he's you've gotta work into that. You've gotta work in that. You gotta make people afraid of Mooney speed. You gotta make people afraid of the running game and stuff like that. You gotta make them afraid of Cohen coming out the backfield and stuff like that. The Bears do not have the tools to do straight West Coast. Spread everybody out and try to be they can't
get them out there.
I don't think they're there yet. I think you've got to be.
Depends on how your tight ends develop.
Right.
I honestly believe that. If Komet becomes Komet's a top five, top six type of tight end, then they can do it, definitely.
You think he'd be like Kittles and those guys, though?
I think his
routes aren't as good as those guys.
I think we don't know.
Yeah,
they didn't play his ass week seven. And everything they did was 1 yard outs.
So you mentioned Tevin Jenkins before we get into him. Young T.Y. said, let Justin call the plays main.
No. Yeah.
I don't think he could call the plays yet.
He can't call plays at all right now.
He'll not at all. He's on the bench. He's on the bench. Like,
he's never called plays before. They had cards, cue cards they held up.
Yeah, a house, my family home. Yeah. What the fuck? Charades? What the fuck? So Tevin Jenkins, he's 23 years old. I remember 320. I remember the Bears picking him up in the second round. I'm like, they moved up for this guy? And then it just – and the Raiders got Leatherwood?
I knew it.
You know what was hilarious? We talked about this the show before. We're like, who should the Bears get the first round? Well, we should get Tevin Jenkins. I think Tevin Jenkins would be a good pick in the first round at 17. And then the Bears got Tevin Jenkins at 33 at the second round?
Yep.
Or 35? Yeah. It was amazing. I was like,
I remember when first round picks. As soon as they picked Justin Fields, I was like, they need a fat guy. Yeah. And I hope that this is the one they get. I was like, I know we're not going to get the other. There was a couple other people. I wasn't expecting. I was expecting Tevin Jenkins to be gone.
What was it?
I said Leatherwood. Man, maybe Leatherwood. I was like, I don't really like Leatherwood that much. I mean, he's big and mean, but like,
if we had Leatherwood, he would have stayed at right tackle, and we would have kept Charles Lemon Jr.
Yeah,
that's just
so. I was ecstatic that they got Tevin Jenkins. I knew who he was. I knew what he played like. I knew how tough he was, how strong he was. The best story I've heard about Tevin Jenkins is when his coach at Oklahoma State said to the whole team in the weight room, hey, man, you guys need to realize how great you are. There's a guy here to be playing every Sunday. Every Sunday, if he just got his mind right. And the coach said, who am I talking about? Tevin, he said, oh, I don't know. He's like, I'm talking about you, Tevin. I'm talking about you. You have the skills and ability to do this stuff. Get your mind right. And then he came out that year and killed it. You know, I'm all in on Tevin Jenkins. You know, hopefully he can do the left tackle thing.
This will be
it's a whole different thing. It really is. You know, left tackle might as well be a whole nother position compared to right tackle.
Remember when I told you about we talked about Fetty able to touch the top of the bottom of the door frame and able to scratch his legs without bending his arm?
Right.
That is not Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins has regular people arms. Arms like me, regular as hell.
Yeah, that's what it says right here. He has shorter arms and projected as a right tackle, but he will play left tackle for the Bears 2021. Youngin TY says that Tevin Jenkins versus Joseph Osai.
Yep.
Tells me everything you need to know about him.
You would say anyone who's followed him, you know, his career knows that he's a solid, unbelievable athlete. He's a mean streak. He does not like his quarterback being touched. You could be walking off the field and touch his quarterback on the butt, and he's going to try to punch you in the face.
It's my butt. I protect that ass. Me.
There he goes.
Tick, tick. No.
I don't know. You saw the 2020 first team All Big 12
with the sus comments.
Whatever. Selection and the 2019 recipient of the Thurman Thomas Award, given to the most outstanding offensive player. This guy is special. Regardless, if he can't play left tackle at a All Pro or if I say a Pro Bowl level, If he doesn't do it, he will move to right tackle. I'm just going to let you know. And they'll probably draft another left tackle. But he's going to be a starting one of your tackles the rest of his career. For the next decade, he's going to be at one of your tackles.
Yeah.
The Thurman Thomas Award. What is the award for?
The most outstanding offensive player.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a big acknowledgement there, man.
He's a man.
He's a man. He's a man trapped in the kid's body.
The kid's face. Look at him.
Anyways. So we'll see what happens to him. And then the other offensive lineman we picked up.
Rookie. Yes.
22 years old. He's 6'5 at 332. I just realized all the linemen expect except Whitehair, who's Whitehair's 29.
Yep.
So everybody else is like
in their
20, yeah,
early 20s. Yes,
that's great. Chicago selected Borman from Missouri with the 151st pick of the fifth round of the 2021 draft. Borman started 19 to 20 games in his final two seasons with the Tigers, a 2020 All SEC second team selection. He started 8 games, which he played 2020 at right tackle. Borman also had the lowest QB pressure percentage. Zero.
Zero.
Can you get any lower than that?
Zero.
Negative.
Last season about FBS offense. Offensive tackles, according to. Yeah. That's crazy. That I didn't know.
Yes. That pass blocking, if a fatty can't move his goddamn feet, Larry Borum will be in the game. That's just what it is.
I can move my feet. There goes Borum just fucking doing the thing.
See, this is the most. Most impressive thing that they came out this that he was playing it like close to 360, and they're like, "Yeah, you're too big," and he's like, "All right," came back at pro day, had lost 30 pounds, and was like, "Yeah,"
increased his quickness,
right? It's like that don't you get a fat guy that gets faster? That's some commitment right there. That's something else. I'm excited. I was excited about this pick too. It's another thing that made me hate Ryan Pace less. Like I'm like there's a meter of like how much I hate Ryan Pace, and the biggest thing up there is Mitch Trubisky, and it's like Jenkins, Justin Fields, Larry Borum, Newsom. But it's still like hate
Montgomery. It's hate. Like it's right. Eddie Jackson. This motherfucker is doing it a little bit. I mean, come on.
If he had to just pick
Roquan Smith,
if he had to just pick Mahomes or Watson, maybe not Watson, he got some shit going on. But
hey, did you know they're saying that he still might play this season?
They haven't come up with anything.
They're most likely he's probably going to play this season.
The thing is, and this is going to be a tangent, and you're going to let me go on this tangent, Puffy Panda.
Okay, go on that tangent.
They gave the shit to the police, and the police ain't said shit yet. It's been months since the police had the info in these statements, and the police ain't did nothing yet. And the NFL's like, I mean, is it cool? We don't want to have have any more rapey guys in here than the normal amount.
Say it's going to trial, but it's not going to trial until maybe like March 2022. And Deshaun is not settling because they don't have anything to charge him as in a criminal case. And that's kind of where it is right now. So the NFL does not know what to do with him. They haven't put him on exempt list. They haven't put him on anything. Everyone thought that was going to happen, and it didn't. And that's what's like, we have no idea what's going to happen. So look, let me ask you
a question. As a person, as a football fan, are you upset if they let him play?
As an ex-football player, as a man with two daughters, will I be upset if they let him play?
I wouldn't.
Here is the thing. As a black man in America, where I don't feel like you get justice, I will be upset if they don't have anything criminally to say about him and they don't let him play.
Yeah.
That's
here's my issue is as a black man in America, they already railroad you. They do. That's just what's going to happen. Everyone, all these things that we always marches, they railroad you already. So you know people are going to say a lot of bad things about you. You come and now nothing happened. They have no proof. And then you don't go to trial or any of that stuff. And you have nothing on me. And you don't let me play. Especially after someone like Ben Roethlisberger, who would rape someone for real, I would probably have a problem with it. I don't know the facts of the case. So right. If they can prove criminally something that went wrong, then you can't let them play.
Okay.
But if it's just he said, she said, I don't think you could do that.
Well, Youngin says, I believe he'll play, but not for not Texans.
But you're asking me if I would be upset. I think that the first thing that you always have to do in any of these situations is listen to the person that's the potential victim.
The victim.
Support the potential victim, okay? You support them, you get them to do the stuff and get their story and go after it and press charges if they're there and stuff like that, if their criminal charges be placed. This is the part that it falls apart for me at. They started this thing out and they didn't press criminal charges. Civil court. Okay. So you didn't go to the police with this stuff. I want if those women are victims, I want them to have their justice. But just like Brian, just like Brian was saying, if they don't and they haven't met the need for criminal charges, you can't let this man not play. You know, I support women. I support all victims of any type of abuse, anything, sexual or domestic. And you know, if they should have laws to let you put hands on somebody that do something to women before they get to the jail, there'd be a whole lot of I got the cure in my closet right here, and it comes with these little cartridges that you can pump into people to cure them of the problems they have. I'm talking about my shotgun that I got, for people that abuse women and stuff like that. But I feel like that this hasn't made it to that point. And the worst part about this, if they don't, and this is a long tangent, I'm sorry, Puffy, if they don't find anything, if they don't charge him as anything, no matter what happens, he's going to be, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson, you know, in massage parlors and stuff, you know. It's always going to be that. To be accused of something falsely, not saying that this is oftentimes just as bad as actually having done it, because it always carries it with you, no matter what.
Yeah.
He's always going to have that with him the whole time, no matter what happens to this. But anyway.
Very slippery slope.
Very slippery slope.
So it's like, I feel like you have to wait to know.
We support all women and any victim's rights to be able to go in and get justice for themselves. Just make that clear so
don't get me wrong. My wife worked for a domestic violence institution. She worked at 555 West Harrison, which is domestic violence courthouse, and seeing all type of stuff. And even she says the thing is it has to go through the court, not just court of a public opinion, but has to go through the court, and you have to be able to prove what's going on, because it's rights on both ends, and it sucks.
Yeah, that would have been me. That'd have been me with that coach.
Oh
yeah.
If my daughter was going to
be, I don't even need
2 minutes. I wouldn't ask 2 minutes.
That'd be me jumping over the bench in the courtroom. It's going, you need some more officers because it's about to be.
Whoa, wait. You ain't jumping over no benches.
Somebody touched my kid. Somebody touched my kid.
He might run through the bench. Right. It might be like a Marvin-sized hole in the middle of that bench.
I don't know. I would throw this one up right quick. No, that's not the same thing. We don't mess with that anymore.
No. I just want how you doing, Dominic? How you been, man?
So tangent over.
Okay, tangent over. I just want to go back real quick. We were talking about the QB. You said we should have picked Mahomes or
the imagine other guy.
Imagine Mahomes, the Bears.
Watson. Man,
the Bears defense.
And the worst part is there would have been so many other things that we could have had happen. Like Christian McCaffrey was in that draft. That we could have just picked up as well for one of those other picks that we could have get, you know, wow. Like he was in that draft. And but anyway, back to what it was. Ryan Pace is trying to build down his Mitch hate for the sabotage he did for everything else for the Mitch Trubisky thing. And he's getting there.
He is. Let's see. Oh, damn, R. Kelly, do you got your passport?
I'm telling you, I don't even touch that. R. Kelly, like,
No.
He go ahead and go stay. He can stay.
And let me tell you how much MF has loved R. Kelly that was from Chicago. You know how much people loved R. Kelly that was from Chicago, man?
Dude, you saying his name way too often. Like right. Saying R. Kelly is like saying Candyman in Chicago. You got to calm down.
He'll come back. Trapped in the closet.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah. Anyway, Larry Baum, he's going to be the starting right tackle spot. He's going to be going against
the Sweaty. He's going to be competing. I think that Larry Baum has the opportunity to, towards the end of the season, compete for that. If he's strong enough run blocking. He'll be able to do it.
Griffin says, say his name three times in a closet.
I don't know. That might do something else, too. So,
come on, being peed on. You know what happened.
Oh, they had to take
we're
it.
We're all so for real.
You can't actually say it.
Next slide, people.
Next slide.
Alex Bars, thank you for saving me, Alex Bars. Alex Bars is 25 years old. He's 6'5", 314. Alex Bars also spent all 2019 on the Bears practice squad, just like Mustafa.
Notre Dame.
He's from Notre Dame. He started all 12 of Notre Dame's games at right tackle as a junior and 13 games at senior year at left guard. Bars returned at graduate year for fifth season for the NCAA eligibility and was named a preseason All-American by the Sporting News. But he tore his MCL and ACL. That's why he went undrafted. Alex, he's a swing guard, but he's good enough to start either interior line position. Alex Bars can start on 20 teams in the NFL. Here he is. He stands, I talked about before, was the coach of Notre Dame. He was the Bears offensive line coach before Juan Castillo. Said he's a steal and believes he's a starter in this league for a long time. So this guy, Alex Bars, would have been drafted if he didn't tear his MCL, ACL.
And you know what? This is the key to their offensive line. Alex Bars, what he represents is the depth that you can have when the injury and stuff happen. When you got a guy, Bars can play either one of those guard spots, along with the other guys, they can all play the other guard spots and the other other center spots. Four guys you can have play whatever, you know what I mean? Like –
Young and T.Y. wants to wonder if the Bears will let him play online. He's 6'6 at 255.
No, you can play outside linebacker.
Right. A linebacker, maybe even a little tight end. Maybe
6'6, 255, not bad though, but
that's a pretty nice tight end though.
That is
6'6, 255.
That's Cole Kmet right there. All right. Yeah. I see you.
Yeah, he's
is this Cole? Cole, is this you?
Yeah, it must be Young and T.Y. I knew it was. From Notre Dame. Special guest, Cole Kmet. Knew it.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so
these guys from Notre Dame we got on this team.
Yeah, he exemplifies the strategy, the diversity that the Bears have on the offensive line that they did not have previously. With all the injuries they had, with the picks they picked up, these guys. So we do average age right now with all of them. The average age is 24.
24 years old.
Of all their offensive linemen that they've got.
That's sick.
All of them. 24.
Now, there are some other offensive linemen. I didn't put them on the list because none of them are going to be starting. All the guys that have been on this list could start at one point in time. in this NFL. Like it now, later, all of them.
Right. I thought you had more of it. So
my bad. No, that was the end of it. That was the end of that.
So we just need to edit out our ten minute Don Watson rant. Yes. And pro victim. Pro victims' rights part. You know, I'm excited about the offensive line, like I said, more than I've ever been before for the Bears. It's about staying healthy. I'll be looking over there at the strength and conditioning coaches. If some stuff go wrong, like what's going on? You're not trying to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs and everybody go, all your tackles die or go down. You know, we just need to stay healthy. I think that you know, I hope they go and get somebody like Okun for the $7 he's probably gonna ask for. So you know,
$7 a piece of a large Giordano's pizza,
right?
And a gift card to Chicago Steakhouse, you know, Chicago right. Cut.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll go ahead.
I hope they do make that move. That will be a whole lot for their depth and development for their young guys, man. Somebody like Okun sitting there teaching. Oh my God.
He can still play.
And yeah, I know he could, but that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't have a problem with Okun being my guy.
Yeah.
Better than Charles Leno Jr.
I think you have to see what you have in camp. I think we have to go through camp and to see exactly what this offensive line can be. Because in camp, you will see all the possibilities that are there for them. And then we'll see, you know, they might not come out in the game immediately, but you will see that these guys can play together. These guys have all these talent. You'll see when I'm pulling. If you see a tackle that pulls and it's way out in front of, you know, the running back, then you know, oh, shit, this motherfucker can play. You know, if you see, you know, Bars coming out and he's battling James Daniels for a position, that's going to tell us a lot about this team.
Yeah. So just to – and I'm comparing their space they got potentially to get somebody like Okun compared to, like, them getting a cornerback.
Corner.
Is it much more important to get the cornerback in the camp than it is to get Okun in at the beginning of the camp?
Yes.
Right. So what's up with the was it Nelson? Is that the guy from Steelers?
Yeah. No.
Why? And nobody's got him yet? Why are they not trying to get him?
It's waiting for the right deal, I think. That's what it is. Waiting for the right deal, and you want the money. The problem is no one has money this season. And I don't think these guys understand that yet. If the cap went down to $180 million, no one's going to have the money to give you.
You might have to go on a one-year contract. What foul language did he use? Oh, he said ass. Oh, okay.
What? Sorry.
What is Dreamland talking about?
I don't know. Let's
move on. We're not doing that.
Continue. Yeah. But let's not focus on that.
Ass.
We said a lot worse than ass.
Right. That's what I didn't understand. So apparently our streaming thing is trying to censor people saying ass in the chat for some reason. They asked it to be the moderator. Oh, okay.
It's a
bot. I was going to say, I was like, what?
Yeah, it makes sense because I need to be added as a moderator in order to remove messages, perform this action.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
We're not going to do that, bot, Streamlab bot.
But yeah. Young T, they said Brian Poole was on the best slot cornerback last year, and he's still a free agent.
We don't have Brian Poole money, probably.
No. As I said, the issue is no one has the money, and that's what people want to turn around and find out that they're going to sign these small contracts for 1 year and go get paid next year. And it's dangerous in the NFL because it's not guaranteed. But
don't play. Don't forget, they still get. Right now,
so what are you giving Poole or Nelson on a 1 year deal?
Is this thing on?
Well, I'm just ignoring you what you're saying.
No shit. I mean, I'm saying don't forget there's gonna be time for them to get signed. They will be picked up. It's just everyone's full with the roster. Once they start cutting people, having free money.
No, they can cut. They can cut some of them in Memphis right now if they wanted to.
Yeah, roster doesn't mean anything.
They can cut money. Half the quarterbacks they get right now.
But what I'm saying is, you can't free up money unless you cut people. So that's what I'm saying.
No, like literally, it doesn't even matter because you can do. You can move money around. You could readjust contracts. You could do that. The thing is, as I told you, the cap being $180 million, knowing it's going to be $212 million next year, teams don't want to have a penalty. So why would I even go approach this cap?
Right.
You know, you're not going to go over
it. It's going to be higher next year.
And they're just telling you, look, you're going to go over for this $4 million. And the guys are waiting, holding out, saying, I don't want, you know, $4 million is not enough for me. And teams are like, well, you're not going to get it for me, nothing else. Right. Look around the league. No one has more money than that under the cap. So you're going to take this $4 million or you're not going to play.
Wow. The Jaguars got money, don't they?
They have some. They have some.
Yeah.
But it's like how Fredo is. Like, with the team, they brought a lot of people to camp. That when your money is tied up a little bit. So.
So you act, you know, we had an answer from Younging. I need you to let us know we saying your name right, man. You always on here showing love, so I want to say your shit right. He said $5 million. I'm asking, what do you pay Poole or Nelson on a 1-year deal?
I mean, four?
Four.
Wow.
That's what
they
you
not
gotta
coming
do
for that.
If everyone says four, it don't matter. If we all say four, like, I mean, 4.1,
right. 4.1
Heralds. Exactly.
Eight piece.
We'll give you eight. We'll get 87 Street Heralds.
Fry when it
comes down.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Boy. All right. Well, anything else, guys, before we sign off?
Nope.
I don't know. I just think that, you know, it was important that we recognized the heart and soul of the team. Without great linemen, you don't have a good team. Yeah. And we have a potential to have great linemen here. And we have a potential to have it for years to come. And I think that needs to be recognized. And we need to get to know these guys and know their names. Just because they have helmets on doesn't mean they're not special. And just because they don't get all the name recognition, don't get all the touchdowns, doesn't mean that they're not the reason why it's happening.
Every time somebody gets a touchdown, it's because the offensive line did something good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, okay. So, this is basically it. Tomorrow is Wednesday, Dynasty Pana with Martin and Mark. They're going to talk about the QBs. On Thursday is DWJBBF. Episode 77. We are talking about episode 6.
Do you know how excited I am?
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
The finale of Loki. The finale of Loki.
Maybe my wife will let me get on that episode.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We'll send a permission slip. We'll all sign it.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
Just we'll do it for you. Just don't tell her we did it. and on Sunday, the morning spike, the fantasy football advice, we're going to be talking about wide receivers and tight ends, sleepers, streamers, and stealers. It's going to be a very great episode. I enjoyed it. I listened into the running back. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'm way
next
ahead.
Week is running back.
I am so sorry. I am reading the wrong week. Dynasty Pilot on Wednesdays. Kramer, make sure you edit this shit out. That is a panel on Wednesdays. They're talking about the offense and defense.
And they're doing a fantasy draft.
The live draft. Number 76 is going to be the Loki on Thursday, the episode. And on Sunday, they're going to talk about running backs.
Yes.
Not wide receiver, tight ends, running backs. Which is going to be kind of difficult because I think we talked a little bit off air. You know, every team's going to have two running backs, three, maybe even four. So
having sleepers on a running back is really difficult when you have a 16-team or 12-team, 16-team fantasy teams. and each team has two to three running backs, who's a sleeper? Right. Who's gonna be on the
anybody
trash?
Anybody that touches the ball is gonna be somebody that you
drafted. You think about it, he might get the ball, you drafted him. So it is difficult, but these guys, especially Martin, they really know their stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, I study as much as I can. But I'm telling you, Martin knows what he's talking about.
He knows a lot. He's been following these guys since birth.
So basically what you're gonna have a lot of your streamers, you're gonna have a lot of these rookies. And sleepers will be your rookies, a lot of these guys. Guys that we don't know that they're going to be this good.
Right.
But Martin knows how to do it. I'll do my best. I'll give you my best guess. Martin's going to give you some good facts and, you know, be ready.
Right. Be very ready because whatever name I put out there probably gets shot down. So.
What? I see a tank.
That's a sleeper. Colonel Sanders is not a running back in the
There's
NFL.
A sleeper on the Bears. That's on my list. What's that?
Colonel Sanders is not a running back in the NFL. You can't draft him.
Colonel Sanders is not? Shit. What about Huckleberry Finn, huh? And then back on Monday, Sweater Kings. They're going to talk about that one basketball movie, Space Jam, with LeBron James.
Whoa!
LeBron James.
So, guys.
Now, what if it's really good, though?
It's not.
Yeah. Well, if the Bears went up, go 16-0.
Nope.
They might.
They're not. What if the Vikings go 14-3 or whatever the fuck?
Whatever it is. They're not.
You're trans. You're not going 14-3, Minnesota.
Right. Jeez. Okay, guys. Man. Have a great one.
Thanks for a great show, guys. I appreciate it.
Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. And like and follow us.
Please. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes. TikTok also. Laters.
We the Bears, monsters of the midway. Knocking teams out every Sunday. Fire in our eyes, can't stop our drive. Hit so hard, remind you of 85. We the Bears, monsters of the midway. Knocking teams out every Sunday. Fire in our eyes, can't stop our drive. Hit so